All right, guys, here we go. Back on the Fight Bananas podcast. And man, are we going to have a little fight breakdown? Fight breakdown. My main man, John Radford, the professor. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. I got excited. I'm sorry.
I love it. I love it. We just turn out content like crazy. We just had some of the greatest week. Anik, Hooper, Allen. It's just been insane. Been bananas. So we're going to kind of do two shows in one. We've been doing for the whole month of April, and I'm so happy to kind of get into the month of May. I'm ready to be the quarantine over, man. I've hit this road. I'm ready. I'm trying to get back to the normal days of the old school time. I just want to hug people. I just want to kind of get back to it. But we've been doing this, the greatest UFC fight of all time. And now we're finally the Elite Eight. It's been voted on. We're about to reveal the final four. And not even just to do that. Let's just have the greatest, interim lightweight championship match of all time. Gaethje Ferguson. Let's break that down as well. You with me?
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go for it. Okay. So, Elite Eight. It was awesome. Almost all four votes were super close. One, I thought, remember I told you, I thought one was going to be a blowout. It was closer than I thought. The winner won. But, hey, we'll get into it. Here we go. The first one, Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald won. No, two, right? Two. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
They were kind of the number one seed going into this. They're fighting Weili and Ioana. And, the last female fight alive, it was the most recent fight alive. And in the closest one, they beat him by like three votes. And one of mine was that vote. Weili and Ioana won a female fight in the final four. Weili and Ioana. I'm pretty pumped about that, man.
I am too. It goes down as one of the greatest title fights in history, but also easily. I don't want to say easily. I guess it is easily the greatest women's fight of all time.
Right. Right.
So I'm cool with it. I'm definitely cool with it. It sucks that Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald got bumped out of there, but it's justified. It's well worth it. I enjoyed every second of that fight, just like I enjoyed the fight of the Lawler. But I'm cool. I'm good. That was for a title.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it was amazing.
And that could have been the finals. And sometimes you know how it is in March Madness. Sometimes like the Kansas and North Carolina just get matched up in the same bracket, and it just is what it is. So it's like, hey,
So true.
So I'm happy. Weili, Ioana in the final four. And the next podcast that we do together, my man, when we break down these final four, we're going to watch these fights from beginning to end. We're going to break it down, have fun with it. We're going to do it on the stream roll. It's going to be cool. We're going to have a good time so people can really dissect into these fights. And, I can't wait for that. So the fight underneath it. So now Weili and Ioana is going to fight the winner of this match in the final four. My personal favorite, maybe, Shogun and Dan Henderson 1 versus definitely the darling of this bracket, the Korean Zombie versus that Yair Rodriguez elbow knockout with a second left.
Don't you tell me that they made it through to the final four, bro.
They
didn't. Don't you tell me that fight made it through.
Nope, they didn't, man. You nailed this one. This was like around 80% winner. Shogun and Hendo win, and oh my goodness, is that a final four dream matchup? Weili Ioana versus Hendo and Shogun.
Hey, you just called it a couple seconds ago. That's like that, Kansas and North Carolina lining up right there.
It's incredible.
Before the finals. That could have been a finals, too.
Absolutely incredible. So it was cool. Dude, the Koreans, when we first made this bracket and we, bracketed them up, there was no way I thought in the Elite Eight we're going to see this Korean Zombie in Yair. But, hey, people voted, and that's what they wanted, and that's what happened. So I was kind of cool that we did have a darling. It kind of brought something to the table,
Kind of like a George Mason or something like that coming in there.
Ooh, good reference, my man. Good reference. The other side of the bracket, which is the closest one, Griffin Bonner. Just everyone that's our age, John. What fight did you watch? What fight got you into, MMA and UFC? They go to Griffin Bonner.
I mean, it was the first one on pretty much, national syndicated TV with this, Spike, or was it? Yeah, it was Spike at the time, right?
It was on Spike. Yeah. Ultimate Fighter finale on Spike.
It makes sense.
Against probably my favorite fight of all time. A lot of personal reasons here. Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor 2 went down to the wire, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this one. I kind of think I pushed it over the edge. Diaz, Conor 2 wins.
That's a big win, man. That's a big win. That's an iconic fight for, like you said, most people, view that they got them into it. But at the same time, you have two of the biggest stars in mixed martial arts history, and probably the biggest star in mixed martial arts history in Conor McGregor. So it makes sense.
It does. It really does. It's kind of, to me so far, it's kind of funny. You have Weili Yuana, so you have like an iconic female, matchup. You got Shogun Dan, like this iconic, old school pride. You think of
Legends,
like this just
legends.
big one, and then you got to me like the new school of the rivalry in social media and Conor and Diaz and the trash talk. So it's cool. You got a little bit of everything here. The last one of the final four, definitely another little sleeper, darling, was Matt Hughes and Frank Trigg. That fight was just on YouTube and UFC Instagram, so I think that helped it a lot. But they won against a monster. Jones Gus won. It's kind of, I think maybe if you ask the masses, kind of the not the diehard MMA fan, I think they think that's the greatest fight ever. And that's who some voted for. So Jones Gus won wins. They are in
I
the
agree.
finals.
I agree. You got to put that one in there. I mean, that's like you're looking at the, you know, we, you know, as far as a skill set and a fighter, you look at, you know, Jones going down as the GOAT. You know what I mean? Right now, if it never came back, he could go down as the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? So, and to take him to the brink like Gus did and really show that he's, you know, essentially put him in the hospital. They both went to the hospital. That was the first time Jones ever had to go to the hospital.
And one thing,
So.
and that's a great point by you, John. And another cool thing is three out of the four fights, and the fourth one was Weili and Ioana, and maybe it just hasn't happened yet because it's the newest fight. Jones and Gus, they had a rematch. Diaz Connor was the second of the rematch, and Shogun and Hendo had a rematch. So when you have that epic of a fight, UFC's not dumb. They run that shit back.
I'm pretty sure they should run that back for the girls because that shit was amazing.
It was, dude. And usually I'm not a fan of just an immediate rematch of if the loser, you know what I mean? Sometimes if the champ loses, I'm cool with that. You know, they deserve a rematch for their belt. But Ioana wasn't a champ going into it. So if she loses, I don't want her back in that title fight. Except for that one. I'm okay with that shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. If they're going to do that again, I'll watch it all day long.
So here we go. We got the final four, guys. Make sure you vote Fight Bananas Official on Instagram, email. I'll send this all out to some of the people that have been doing it. Weili Ioana versus Shogun Hendo. And then you got Diaz Connor 2 versus Jones Gus 1.
And we're going to do something fun for that one, right?
Oh, yeah. Me and you will go on the old StreamYard and we'll watch all four of those fights. We'll watch them, break them down. Literally, it'll be the whole show and our reaction to it. Maybe we can even pause and be like, oh, let's really hit on this moment. We'll really break down these fights. They're the maybe you can argue the four most, iconic, four biggest fights, four best fights ever. And we're going to break it down the only way we know, the bananas way.
That's right.
All right, so there we go. That's the beginning of the show, guys. We're going to shift gears now. We're going to kind of go, we're going to walk into the laboratory. We're going to break down the fights like only John and I can. Guys, UFC 249, it's happening. Are you ready? May 9th in Jacksonville, Florida. God, that's awesome, man. Home
Was
state.
so close yet so far away.
I know. It's like, imagine if it was people were allowed and media and MMA media could go. It's like, no, we're locking this shit up. It's no one could go. Buy it on pay-per-view for $80 and get out of our way. But we're gonna break down the whole card is insane. It's stacked. We're gonna have another talk about it. We're gonna have like a betting show on it. So we got a couple things lined up for next week. But really, I really want you and me. I love when we do this. This is break down the main event. Tony and Gaethje, the highs and lows to each way, how it can end either way, who wins and who loses, what's next both ways. So it's for the interim lightweight championship. The Ferguson Habib is never going to happen. So this is kind of for the gold, I think.
Yeah, I mean I saw a meme the other day that said UFC books Ferguson Khabib sixth, and then it's a picture of Godzilla, you know, blowing fire on the city. Next day, Godzilla just goes
Shit.
crazy.
Oh God, it's you seen the UFOs been around, right? On like going around social media. It's like
Yeah.
if the we're over the pandemic and then all of a sudden, Will Smith movie ID4 is going to like come attack us. It's come. I don't even want them to make it. I'm really on that side. Like I know, be like, Dave, come on, don't be like that. Don't be Oprah sensitive. No, I'm okay with life not seeing Ferguson Habib. I'm okay. Are you okay with that?
I'm not, but I can live with it. I'm not okay with it, but I mean, if that's the way it plays out and we never get to see it, it is what it is. You can't, I mean, what we're going through now, you know what I mean? It's like, it is what it is. I never thought I'd see this. So if I don't get to see that, I guess I never thought, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where I'm, if I got to live with it that way, that's the way it's got to be. But I'm glad with this one. This one is going to be fun.
Absolutely. I love this. Your first gut reaction when this was made, you know, 2 weeks ago when they kind of tried to do it really quick, and then now we have a little bit of buffer time here. When this matchup was made, what was your first three, you know, words? What was the first thought that went through your head?
Hell yeah, and Tony's got this. But now we will get into that. But hell yeah still is my first reaction and my wholehearted reaction. But I just watched Tony a couple fights, like literally, then I just watched Gaethje too, with a couple fights that he just had, and it's gonna be fun to break it down. I'm excited about this, but when the fight was made, I thought, oh hell yeah! If you're gonna give us something, give us that. I'm fine with that.
Gosh, that's so funny you say that, John. And we'll same thing. We'll go into it because we will make our bold predictions right here on the show. We will kind of get into it, how they will win and all that. When I first hit it too, I was like, okay. All right, first thing I thought was it's an exciting, fun fight. I'm okay with this. I will, you know, pay $65. I'll sit on the couch, pistachios, and a Truly. I'm going to be okay. But I was like, oh, Ferg's got this. I was with you. Every single day it goes further away from the announcement. I'm like, man, that guy is 21-2. That Justin Gaethje is a highlight. That Justin Gaethje is a problem. That Justin Gaethje,
he's a violent son of a.
Yeah, man. Like, he's got two losses on the docket. One was a all-out war with Dustin the Diamond, who, you know, a top 10 fighter in the world. You know, he was the champ of this weight class. He fought Khabib. You know, he's done his thing. And then
of the best hands in the business.
Right, right. And then the other one was to the Underground King. There was Eddie Alvarez, which was a – no one lost that fight. You know what I mean?
No,
I think the referee stopped Gaethje in the third, but both guys were just rock stop. It was just that could have been in one of the best fights ever in UFC history, but it wasn't for us. But Gaethje is just – come on. It's – he's so damn good. He's I think he's like underratedly great. Am I off base on this?
Not at all. Not at all. We can get into that. You're not off base at all. I've been watching it. Like I said, I watched his PFL, but his World Series of Fighting versus Brian Foster.
Yes. Yes.
If you watch that fight, it's kind of crazy because Brian Foster goes in there on a roll and like he has the utmost confidence and he puts it on Gaethje for a minute, but Gaethje is just a hard-nosed dude, and what we're going to get into about this is he's got to go early and fast. He's got to get those leg kicks, man. He's one of the hardest kickers, is the hardest leg kicker, I think, in the game.
That's actually a really good point. That's something that, we'll kind of really get into. So, okay, let's start with Gaethje. He is the underdog. He's minus 180 right now. And,
oh, it went up? I thought he was minus one. Or no, he's plus 180 then if he's the underdog.
You're right, plus 180. You are 100% right, and I'm going to be quiet for the rest of the night now. No, you're right. So he's plus 180. Okay, so Gaethje takes this fight. Now, this is kind of the little thing that I do like Gaethje on this site. So he took the fight. Now it's probably been around 10 days to 2 weeks ago on short notice when it was back April 18th. But April 18th got squashed, it got killed, and now May 9th is the new date. I think that's really good for Justin. I think he heard he had to make 155 in 8 days, so he probably busted butt for 2 or 3 days in a row. You know what I mean? And then when they said, hey, lower off the gas, I feel like it's like he had an amazing start of his training camp, and now he just can really get into it the proper way. I think Gaethje is going to be in probably the best shape of his life. He knows too. This is another one. Like it's just, it's like you got to talk. This is why I love doing this, John. Gaethje was not meant to be champion of this division. Like I'm just going to bluntly say that this division, Khabib Nurmagomedov's the champ, and he defeated Conor McGregor to get it. You know, and that fight was the match for the belt. Ferguson, 12 fights in a row, 12 wins in a row, was the interim champ. Him versus Khabib, like I said, will never happen. That fight's going to match up. Like, People want to see Connor back in this. There's other names that you can really throw the diamond out there. There's all this stuff. Gaethje was never meant for a title fight, but now this is it. This is his opportunity. John, this might be his only goddamn opportunity for this belt. I think Gaethje really has more than anything to prove. I think Ferguson has a little bit of this, gosh, the Khabib thing didn't happen again? Like, really? And then he cuts the weight to go to 155, and then to kind of beef back up to cut it again literally 21 days later. There's just a lot of stuff going on, man. It's like, I don't want to give it away, but I guess I am a little bit if you hear my tone. There's a lot of positive momentum for Gaethje and negative towards Tony.
I agree with what you're saying. There's a lot of positives for Gaethje right now. Absolutely. I agree with you on that. He wasn't supposed to be the champion of the division. He was always supposed to be a top five fighter, top 10 fighter, and always put on a show, kind of be like the new cowboy of the division, and just always be there, but never really get to the epicenter of everything. He's never supposed to get to the peak of the mountain per se. He's never supposed to be the top of Everest while looking down at everybody. You're right about that. But as far as the negatives for Tony, can we really say there's any negatives for Tony in anything that he does? Because what he does is so crazy.
That is true. That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a mental samurai when it comes to it, because whether you say he's a little off his rocker or he's just super mentally tough, it's one of those things where
– great point.
I don't really – it's whatever Tony Ferguson does. You know what I'm saying? He does what he does. So I don't know if it's negative as far as him cutting weight. I think it was to make it for himself. I think that was something he did for himself, not for anybody else. So if he's doing it for himself, he thinks it's the right decision. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, 100%. Oh, dude, great point, John. Really good point. It's something that, you know, the late, great Kobe Bryant did, and to something that the mainstream person does who, you know, does the mail, is two totally different things. There's tons of stories after a playoff game, Kobe Bryant playing 42 minutes against the Kings, had a bad day, went right back in the gym at 11 o'clock at night to shoot and run. It's just normal people don't do that. So you might be right on the Tony Ferguson thing. That's actually a great call. I'm switching my pick. I'm switching it.
No. We still got to break it down.
We do.
I might convince you another way. You never know.
So, okay, I want you to start. That's Gaethje. This kind of hit a little bit more on Ferg, and you did hit on him right there, and then we'll kind of really get into the fight itself. We'll kind of start the bell. Ferguson, John, won 12 fights in a row in the octagon. You know how hard it is to win one fight. To get a winning streak into the in UFC, to win 12, and you can debate to this day in the greatest division in the industry, the lightweights. It's pretty incredible. To put a bow on his last one was Michael Johnson 2012. Like, and that was by a unanimous decision. It's not like he got knocked or anything. You know what I mean? So. He's one of the greats alive today in MMA. And
that was prime Michael Johnson, and prime Michael Johnson was a monster.
He really was. Michael Johnson was one of those guys. He kind of like is like a Stefan Struve. On his best day, could beat anyone in the world, but sometimes you don't get his best day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Exactly.
So, Ferg, if his mind is right, or if his mind is just who he is, he wins. It's just what he's done in the octagon 12 straight times. Why would we think any different? So that's just kind of my two cents into the mind state of Tony Ferg.
So with him, I feel there's three keys to victory that he usually has all the time, right? One is his gas tank. You know he's going five rounds if he has to, and he's going to go full blown, full tilt, all the way. He may even start slow, but he's going to come at you the whole entire time. Number two is he cuts you. He knows how to damage you. He's like a John Jones, but with sharper elbows. He just knows how to hurt you in ways. You know what I'm saying? He's going to cut you. He's going to make things difficult for you. He may land that right when you don't think it's coming from, you know, somewhere. He may land the hook that you don't see coming. It's just he knows how to hurt you. And then three, he knows how to get hurt in the sense of he knows how to take the damage. He knows how to keep going. He has that, you know, indomitable spirit where the will to just keep going no matter what, because of his gas tank, because of it, he knows he can still hurt and finish and be hurt at the same time. So he has those three keys to him. And with that, that makes that man a very, very dangerous person in any fight, right? But he's meeting someone across the octagon from him that is just as violent. I don't know that he has a gas tank for five rounds like Tony does, but he also can take damage like no other. I mean, he's only been finished, twice, and his two losses are unanimous to once and his two losses, but lots of fights he's taken plenty of damage and came back and, you know, finished the dude, knocked him out, whatever it is. So Tony's biggest thing for him right now is to control the violence. Control the violence. Don't take those leg kicks. Make sure you're checking stuff and control the violence in the sense of, if we're in a scramble, I need to be the one landing the last shot or the hardest shot in the exchange. Or I need to be the one landing the clean cut elbow to get him bleeding early. He needs to control the violence and control it as much as he can. If it's a wrestling scramble, I need to be going for submissions to keep him on his game so he can't hit me. You know what I mean? Things like that. Because he's very slick in the jiu-jitsu game. Eddie Bravo and him go over everything. I think those, to me, are the keys to victory for Tony. Is like his gas tank plays him well to him, but he has to control the violence. And I don't mean control the distance. I don't mean control the pace. I mean literally control the violence of what's happening. If it means you have to play a little bit more defensive to slide in some slicker shots or whatever it is, or cut angles differently because you need to be able to land the better shots in the exchange, or is it just, hey, I'm going to cover up myself and throw harder? I don't know. Whatever the game plan plays out, but he has to control the violence and check leg kicks.
Okay. Love it, love it. There's one thing that really jumped out at me. And then another thing. Okay, let me go with one. One is, you mentioned about being cut and everything. People, like, you'd be like, oh, you really can't control that. Or no, you kind of can. Ferguson's amazing at it. And there's a reason why Cerrone and Pettis, his last two wins, has been by stoppage, by doctor stoppage or corner stoppage. That's just what Ferguson does. He brings violence in multiple different ways and elbows. And maybe Gaethje's won't be technically knocked out, but if he's cut up enough, if he gives himself up there, and sometimes he does, sometimes he's like, hit me here so I can try to hit you. You can't do that to Ferg. Ferg will hit you in a way that will stop the fight, not even in a referee stoppage, technical stoppage, by cut and blood and just stitches and all that. So he's really got to be careful about that. Lastly, the thing that I kind of want to bring up was, and I love when you and me go to like other sports, the Kansas City Chiefs just won the Super Bowl. The best quarterback, fantasy player, best player is Patrick Mahomes. And he had a really, really bad first half. And one thing I heard, and I'm like so adamant about it, and, you know, when you get to the topest level, a professional wrestler, a quarterback for the Super Bowl Chiefs, or a podcaster, you have to be you. That's just like it. And if you're not great, then, you know, if you're Tim Tebow, be Tim Tebow, and then you can be out of the league in 3 years, right? Like, you have to be you at the end of the day. So I don't want Gaethje to do anything different. And you'd be like, no, you got a game plan. I don't. I want Gaethje to be reckless. I want Gaethje to be dangerous. I want Gaethje to throw monster bombs. I want Justin Gaethje to do everything that he did to get to 21-2, to get to this interim championship match. Hey, the chips don't fall your way. The chips don't fall your way. And I could, if I was Gaethje, I can sleep that night in the hospital bed, because it won't be at home, in a hospital bed, knowing that I let it all out. I was Justin Gaethje. Are you with me on that? Or do you think you have to, go a different way with, because you're more of a, you got a coach's mind. You have a really brilliant mind in MMA about game planning and coaching. I just want Gaethje to be Gaethje.
One, thank you for that compliment. I appreciate that, sir. Two, I want Gaethje to be Gaethje too, but I want Gaethje to go back to the old Gaethje. I want Gaethje to go back to where he starts chopping the leg first. He starts really taking out the things that you have to stand on, because Tony's going to stand. He's not going to wrestle right away, so he's going to stand with you. And so he's going to try to hurt you those ways. He's going to, you know, go wherever the fight flows for him. Take his legs out. Take and make him stand after you take his legs out. So to me, just like Tony's going to have to check these kicks, Justin's going to have to lay into it. I watched the Edson Barbosa fight again with him. I mean, let's be real. Before that fight, we all would agree that Edson Barbosa has the hardest and fastest leg kicks in the game, right?
Right, right.
Well, you saw when Barbosa hit him and when Gaethje hit him the first time. Who made the funny face? Who made the ooh? Do I really want to do that again? Let me see. I'm gonna try and boom. No, when Gaethje hit him again, he was like, okay, maybe we shouldn't exchange these. Barbosa in no way is a slouch. I mean, the fight with Khabib. So when you take one of his weapons and use it against him, yeah, you're the hardest kicker, leg kicker in the game now to me. If you make the hardest leg kicker to flinch and not want to do it with you anymore. And then you take away the kicking game there, which, you know, led to hands and he knocked him out, right? So I think that's what you, if you're saying Gaethje needs to be Gaethje, well, I need to see old school, let's lay some hard leg kicks and let the hands open up from those leg kicks. When the guy starts flinching and the hands start dropping a little bit and he starts reaching for the legs and checking weird, the hands start going and he starts putting people to sleep and he really lays in the punishment. I think that is a great game plan to work on against Tony. I really think you know, the leg kicks and the calf kick just low, it just do damage, just makes them hurt. I don't think in any type of way, like even if he blew the dude's ACL out, like I think he did Brian Foster when we were talking about the fight earlier. I really think he did because he ended it with a leg kick stoppage. I don't think Tony's going to let that stop him. I think he's going to get up and try to fight on it, kind of like a Shane O'Malley did on the one foot. You know what I mean? Right, I think Tony will try to fight till the end no matter what.
Of course.
But your best bet is to maim him in some type of way in the legs so he can't have those jiu-jitsu moments, you know, with a triangle like he got Kevin Lee. If you end up on top, he can't have those quick scrambles that he's so famous for and all of that because his leg's going to be blown up. He's not going to be able to move it the way he does. So I want Gaethje to be Gaethje, just like you said. I want him to be violent. I want him to be just – I don't want to say reckless like that, but I want him to definitely be, you know, everything with some bad intentions like he can. But he really needs to chop that leg. I think it'll take a lot out of Ferguson and really slow him down if you can start in the first round with that. And then come 4 and 5, if it's still going, you got a lot better chance if the man can't move very well.
Right, right. Wow. Man, dude, this fight is getting hot. When you know when stuff gets hot, man, you got to drink some water. And one water I drink, my man, Fusion CBD water. That stuff is so good. 6 bottles for $19.50. Or you put in our code FIGHT2020, you get 20% off. Guys, FusionCBDProducts.com. So, John, if I had to say right now, one fight ends in the first round, I mean, the fight ends in the first round or the fifth round, or, you know, like a unanimous decision, does that change who you think won the fight?
If it ends in the first, I'm going to go with it's one of two ways. All right, it's either a knockout by Gaethje or it's a submission by Tony. That's the only way it's going to work. I don't think Tony finishes Gaethje in the first round. I don't see that happening. I can see him finishing him with something later on, like a knockout or a stoppage that way, you know, like after he had those, you know, long rounds with, you know, Dustin or anything like that. It was later on down the line that he finished him, you know what I mean? It wasn't like in the first. He went toe-to-toe for a while. If it's a first-round finish for Tony, it's going to be a submission. If it's a first-round finish for Gaethje, it's definitely him putting Tony to sleep. In the fifth, it could be either way. But I would definitely say as the fight goes on, if he doesn't in some type of way maim or really, really slow down Tony in the like in his movement and things like that, I definitely think that as the fight goes on, it leads towards Tony just because of the sheer gas tank and his ability to hurt you in ways, like you said, cutting, bleeding, whatever it may be, doctor stoppage, just corner stoppage, whatever you want to say. I think he has a knack for that. So the longer it goes there, but you're dealing with the guy who got his doctorate in violence on the other side of the cage and Justin Gaethje. I mean, like if you just watch his – he was born in the fire, it seems like. He was just like – like every fight – like he even said it. He's like, I just go in there. I'm just going in there to hurt the dude, to finish him. I'm, you know, ultimate competitor, ultimate, you know, dog in him, you know, from his wrestling days. But now he thinks a little bit more. Now there's a little bit more to the game plan. Now there's a little bit, you know, more strategy behind the violence. And with that's when you become better. That's when you beat people like Edson Barbosa by stoppage. That's when you, you know, start touching people the right way and putting them to sleep even quicker. This is one hell of a fight, man. This is this is fun.
So good. And I think I agree with you a little bit. You know, of course, anyone, he can get caught in a submission and it can happen. If the fight ends in the first or the second, I'm 96% sure Gaethje won. If it goes fourth, fifth round, unanimous decision, I am giving it to Ferg. I'm that It is what it is. If it's a shootout, I got Mahomes. If it was a defensive game, I had the Niners. So I just think that's the way you got to look at it, because they're both the best at that. Like, Gaethje's the best at just, you know, overwhelming someone with violence and power. So if that happens early, yeah, he's the best at it. With the gas tank of Ferg and how he can defeat a man in so many ways, nine ways. There's not just a knockout or technical or submission or ground and pound. There's just so much more he can do inside that cage. A stoppage of Cerrone and the broken hand of Pettis is just two examples. If it goes long, I'm giving this fight to Ferg. So we always do this. Let's kind of make the prediction in a way, and then we can end it with what's next for Tony, win or lose, and Gaethje, win or lose. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You want to hit the first? You want to do the prediction, or you want me to hit it first?
I'm fine. I'll do it. It's after watching it, after seeing it, if I can, Trevor Whitman is Justin Gaethje's coach, and I feel, I don't know, I just feel like he'll have a good striking game plan for the craziness, and I think it's going to start with leg kicks. So I'm taking Gaethje in this one. Like you said, I think he's the dark horse. He was never most spent to be there, and I think he has a lot. The man doesn't take short notice fights. That's what he says. He's like, that's not smart. You know what I mean? It's like, you want to make sure you're ready. You don't want to take short notice fights if you don't have to, things like that. But when there's a title on the line, you get kind of a re-motivation, a re-thought process, and he's always been a hungry fighter. And like you said, you know, 21-2, I'm going to take Gaethje in this one with the upset, in a sense, because he's the underdog. I'm going to say he finishes Tony in three by knockout or ground and pound stoppage, like TKO, like after he drops him, like something like that. But I have a feeling that after watching these fights and seeing it, I know Tony can take a lot of damage. Tony can move on the ground. But I think if it goes to the ground, I think Gaethje's going to let his ass back up and he's just going to punish him some more. And unless Tony can wing up a submission or catch him in a scramble that Gaethje's just not ready for, I'm saying Gaethje by violentness in round three.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Okay. So, I was going back and forth, like I said, especially I was all in with Ferg and then lately with Gaethje, and then I kind of went back and forth. So I'm going to kind of go with, one, my gut, and then two, they call you the professor for a reason, and usually I love disagreeing. I'm going with Gaethje as well. One, I love the kismet of it, the irony of it, this is his probably once and only shot. He wasn't supposed to be here, kind of a thing. Dude, Ferg has been in these interim title fights 3-4 times, Kevin Lee and all this stuff. So, if he loses this fight, we'll get into it. He's got a huge fight right after this, maybe even for the title. Like, they literally just might book him and Khabib, do Gaethje Connor for the interim title. Like, it's just literally, we can go there. Lastly, and, and I'm trying to not be like that person. Like I said, I almost started the exact opposite. He won 12 fights in the octagon in a row. It's amazing. Holy crap. But, we know friends in the UFC, John. We go down there to Tampa. They win one, or they haven't won one in the UFC. It is so damn hard to win these fights at the highest level. But if I can just say, I just want to give a little bit of, backing, a little bit of knowledge on some of these wins. Some of this win streak can be like, okay, maybe people can just think a tad different. All right? Let's work its way from the recent to the longest. And we won't hit 12, but I think you guys will get the point. Just last summer, Cowboy Cerrone, my favorite, your favorite. We love Cowboy Cerrone. I don't want to throw shade at him. He's not the Cowboy of 4 years ago. Maybe he should, think about putting it up and save his body. He's not what he once was. Right? Are you with me on that?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Okay, the one before that, Showtime Pettis. Same kind of thing. Maybe he's not the same guy he used to be. Still hell of a fighter and as high as highs. The first round, I remember it immensely. It was the Khabib-Connor card. Pettis won the first round against Ferguson, 100%. Tony had a good round too, and Pettis hurt his hand, broke his hand. They stopped the fight. So it is what it is. Next fight after that, Kevin Lee. Yeah, it was around a year before that. You know, Kevin Lee, I think, is a good fighter. I think he was rushed into that title, the interim title match. That was the whole Conor was gone. He was fighting Floyd. Habib couldn't fight. Lee was just who was left. And Lee from that fight is a 3-3 fighter. I'm not saying he's not, top tier guy, but maybe one of the weakest title contenders ever at the lightweight championship fight. Is that okay for me to say in the last couple of years?
Yes, because I feel like you preference it with he was rushed. I feel like he never really had the team behind him that he needed. I think, you know, now he has a better understanding of that. You know what I mean? So yes, I agree with you. You're not being rude when you say that. You preface it with the right thing, saying that they rushed him. And of course, if you're a young man that trying to be the champion of the world, and that's your ultimate motivation, you're going to jump at the chance to get a title. So it is.
RDA, that was literally a year before that. After the Asada pool came to the UFC, I'm just going to leave it like that. the fight before that was like 5 months. It was Venata. I don't know if you remember this, the same thing.
Yep.
Venata was stopping Tony in the first round. He got caught in that Dars choke, but he was stopping him. Okay, so guys, I hope you get my point. Not trying to throw shade. Tony's an all-timer, love him. But it wouldn't surprise me if he goes 1-3 in his next four, especially if it's a Gaethje, Habib, Connor, and another kid on the rise, Sugar O'Malley, whatever it is. I wouldn't shock me.
Well, I also think that Gaethje, guys, you're forgetting something. There's another big, huge payday for Gaethje on the other side of this fight. The Red Panty Night. Red Panty Night is fully graspable if you beat Tony Ferguson.
This is my favorite part of the whole show. And so you said it. If I could, I want to lead with both, and because I think you get it when I go both. And usually we go back and forth and we pick and choose. If Justin Gaethje wins this fight, to me, I think he's already, Dana White said, oh, he's going to go against Habib. I think they make Connor. I think Connor fights him before that. Connor fights him in the middle of the summer, maybe even August-y, July. If Gaethje wins, he fights Connor.
July 4th.
If Gaethje loses, he fights Connor. If Tony Ferguson wins, I think they hold out and he fights Habib Nurmagomedov. If Tony Ferguson loses, I think he fights Habib Nurmagomedov. I think both guys, they know their next match. I do.
Yeah. I think if Tony loses, he's out of the picture.
Wow.
Because, like, you know why? You know why? Because he's the guy that doesn't fight as often. He gets hurt. There's random things in the last time. Like, Habib doesn't fight because he's on a schedule, right? In a sense, like, his schedule just says, no, I'm not doing this at this time because that's my schedule. That's my religion. And this is what I'm a devout, Muslim that way. So this is not what my schedule doesn't allow it. Okay. So don't fight during that time. It has nothing to do with injuries or anything like that. He just doesn't fight during that time. Tony, however, all those gaps, you're like, oh, I think it was a year before that, right? We're talking about year gaps between fights.
Right,
right. I feel like Tony, like you said, Nate, if you look at his last four fights that you just rung out, a little while ago, Venata, Kevin Lee for an interim, all that kind of stuff. You go up all the line, you're getting Donald Cerrone. The last big tough fight you had, I guess, was Donald Cerrone or Anthony Pettis. I mean, you see what I'm saying? So it's like, just like you mentioned, I feel like if Tony doesn't seal this and make his statement for win 13, Gaethje takes all those 12 wins and says, hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'm out. I'm going to go get my payday or I'm going to fight the champ.
Right. Like, I'm with you on that one. I didn't even think about it. If Tony loses, it might be a Dan Hooker. It might be a Charlos Oliveira. It could be one of those guys on the rise.
I would love that one. Charles Oliveira and Tony Ferguson?
Oh, my God. Sign me up.
Yeah, screw Khabib. Let's just see Tony and Charles. That'd be a great fight.
That's why I love the division so much. There's so much they can do. It really is awesome.
Let's be real. Like, he says Gaethje's going to fight Khabib. Like you said, Dana says that. I don't believe what Dana says when it comes to stuff before a fight.
Especially,
I don't believe that.
Out of everything, especially when Conor McGregor's in the division, especially
right, like, and he's back.
Yeah, come on. We have We're 39 minutes and 45 seconds, 46 seconds, 47 seconds into this podcast. We still haven't mentioned the diamond. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of the greats of the division for the last 3 years. You can argue had a better run than Habib. Like, it's just he's been more active. He's been running the division. We haven't even mentioned him. So, you know, I don't know, man. You never know if Habib. What happened if Habib is not ready for that fight? What happened if Gaethje gets hurt and then they're like, oh, we're going to do Habib? It's just, come on. I don't know, dude. But
I feel like it plays out better if Gaethje wins for everyone, and also for what ultimately, I guess, do people want to, if everybody's behind the Khabib Conor rematch, it plays out better for you guys, for everybody in that way, if Gaethje wins, because then I really do see them making Gaethje Conor. And then by beating Gaethje, who stole Tony Ferguson's sign, and finishing Cowboy Cerrone in 42 seconds. And maybe if Gaethje does win, and then Conor goes in there and beats Gaethje by fantastic fashion, it gives way more credit to Conor again for Khabib to want that match. Because for a long time, he's like, well, he needs to win more. You know, he's saying that and all that kind of stuff. So it plays out better if Gaethje wins, so he gets the match with Conor, if everybody wants to see the Khabib Conor rematch, you know what I mean?
Right. Wow.
So I would say, you know, I don't believe anything. If Gaethje wins, it's all open. You can literally throw anybody at Gaethje you want that you think should be it. If you want it to be Dustin, not Conor, and you want Conor says, no, I'm going to fight Nate again. Okay, whatever. You know, whatever it may be, the door's more wide open for Gaethje, like for us to see more fights or other than right. that, or if Gaethje wins. If Tony wins, I kind of feel you shelf that and you really want to make the Khabib
yes.
Tony fight.
Yes. If Gaethje wins, it just opens the division. Paul Felder, Dan Hooker, the Diamond, it just opens up. We just mentioned Oliveira, you know, Conor can come in. If he beats Ferguson and takes those 12 wins with him, that Notorious versus Gaethje fight now is the fight to make. It's like the one fight everyone wants to see. It's just, so it just, I'm with you on that one. And a little bit, I think that's why, you know, me and you are on the limb. He's plus 180. It's not like he's Rocky Balboa versus Drago right now. You know what I mean? Like he's in this fight. But I think you and I think we're going to surprise the masses that we both picked Justin Gaethje to defeat Tony Ferguson's 12-fight win streak.
I think so, too, because I was on record saying Tony would beat Khabib, and I still believe that. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of people are going to take Tony this one. But I think we're going to see the Gaethje come out, you know, with the win and open up the division. So, because not saying Tony wouldn't take fights, I just feel like the ideal thing is to shelf him, you know, until Khabib comes back and then make something else happen. But I agree with you. I think a lot of people are going to go against us on this one.
And I love it. Guys, you know one thing I love, man? I love the month of May. Dude, I can't wait. Like, I'm ready, man. I'm over it. And, you know, if you want to take 30 seconds, I'm just, I finally hit the wall, this quarantine wall, and I've been so positive, and it's been awesome, man. We've been spending so much time with the kids and, you know, just time that I would never, ever, ever have. And I've been doing stuff different, and, you know, we've been churning a ton of content, and I probably couldn't have done it if we didn't have this time. A lot of people have been super nice to the Fight Finesse podcast, so we're very grateful for that. But just, dude, I'm ready. Are you with me on this one? Like, I'm. Let's go. Come on, we're May. We got fights 9th, 13th, 16th. Like, let's go. Like, it's time to hello world. You know, come on.
I would love for that to be able to happen. I would love for something to come and let that happen. Because yes, I think everybody's that way. It's one of those things where this is just shitty. There's no way other would put it. You know, they say there's a meme out there, the Florida people, you know, when something crazy happens, they're like, look at this shit out here. That's pretty much what we say. We're dealing with this shit. You know, it's not the coronavirus, we're dealing with this shit. So it's like, I'm with you on it. I wish it would open up. I wish it would happen. I wish everybody could go back to work and make the money they need to make, and everybody, you know, families can get better and everybody stays safe. I'm definitely with you on it. I wish things could go back to what we would call normal.
Dude, when that does, man, you and I, we're getting into the studio, and I just want to, let's just do a 4-hour Clubberfest. I just want to talk about every fight possible. Maybe, especially if they do 3, 4, 5 events in a row, maybe we'll get a fighter inside there. I'm just ready to, I miss the studio, man. I'm not going to lie. Like,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we open
so
up.
So comfy in there.
Dude, you opened up that fridge. You just got Cherry Coke, Gatorade, Fusion CBD water, and Corona. Like, it's delicious.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
It's delicious. Oh my goodness, my man, John Radford, the professor. That was it. We revealed the final four of the Fight Bananas UFC Best Fight Ever, and we just broke it down. Maybe the coolest, the most violent fight in UFC history, Gaethje Ferguson, UFC 249. We broke it down. We broke it down. You and I, Justin Gaethje defeats Ferguson. That's where we're at. That's what we did.
Now, you usually have surprise questions for me, but I have one for you.
Give it to me. I'm ready. I'm all night.
All good?
Oh, yeah.
Henry Cejudo or Dominic Cruz?
I'm stumped. Henry Cejudo.
I'll take a dollar on that and take Dominic Cruz.
Okay. And dude, I would love to give you money. Like, that's what I was just going to say. Like, my heart... And just like who I want, dude, I'm a big Dominic Cruz fan. I'm not into Cejudo. But at the end of the day, you have to respect the cringe, what he does inside the octagon. I think Cejudo just wrestles him and just grapples and just is in his face and paces him. And I think Cejudo gets it done.
I think with all of the injuries and things like that, and Cejudo being so young in his MMA career, and like you said, his background, his wrestling, all the stuff he's done, like as a fighter, I think he has a skill set that definitely can beat Dominic Cruz, and I would even say is maybe the better fighter right now. But I'm all good about taking Dominic Cruz for a dollar.
Oh,
so it's all good.
All day, buddy. I hope I give it to you. Hopefully we're maybe at the Ale House, and I'll buy you a cold one at the end.
Yes. Yes.
hopefully we're allowed out. We'll see. But my main man, that was awesome. One of my favorites. Like always, every single time we get in here, it's just the best. That was the Laboratory, John Radford. So many big things happening. I cannot wait for one more round. It's coming very, very soon to your ears. Make sure you download, subscribe, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all those damn platforms. Just go get it. Just come on. It's 2020. Go get it. You know, put in Fight Bananas somewhere, some kind of bar or phone. Just go get it.
You won't be sorry.
Absolutely.
You won't. You'll enjoy it every second of it.
Oh, my goodness. John, appreciate you, man. Any last words?
Oh, man. Just everybody stay safe. Make it let's burn out this month of April, and hopefully we can get back to life in May. And other than that, get ready to watch some hella fights.
By the way, Francis Ngannou first round knockout. There you go, guys. Have a great one on the Fight Bananas podcast.